So to set the stage for where I want to go today, we're going to review a little bit about the New Testament, okay? So this is going to be a really brief summary just to set the stage. So what we see in the New Testament is that, of course, we just celebrated Jesus arriving on the scene, but what did Jesus actually come to do? So he went around. It says he went from town to town and village to village, teaching and proclaiming the good news. What Jesus was telling them was, the whole way through your history, this is how you related to me. This is how you got yourself prepared to come into my presence. This is what you did so that we could have a relationship. You did blood sacrifices, and you went to the temple, and all these things. And then Jesus announces, hey, this is all changing. I've come to complete and finish that agreement, that old covenant. And once I finish it and complete it, then I'm trying to explain to you, we're now in a new covenant, a new agreement, a new way of relating to me. And some of them got it, and, you know, some of them didn't. And then we have Jesus' death and resurrection. And after his resurrection, he tells his disciples, his followers, go and make disciples. Go and make more followers. So then we find ourselves in the book of Acts, and they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and do that. We were never told to do it on our own. We were told to do it as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. So then we see the disciples going out from town to town and village to village and making disciples, just like Jesus told them to. And Paul especially went around and raised up churches. And that's why he was called an apostle. He went around and he established and raised up churches. And then he got to the point where he realized he could not go back around again. He had already taken three missionary journeys, so he decided to write letters to them, inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's most of our New Testament. So you all know that usually in the summer, the Lord gives me a book of the Bible to go through, and that's what we do for the summer. And as I was praying about, okay, Lord, it's the start of a year, and I usually do a series, maybe a four-week series or a six-week series. What do you want me to do this year? Well, he sent me to the book of Thessalonians. So we're actually going to start our year with a Bible study of the book of Thessalonians. So if you want to open to that, this is one of these letters that Paul wrote to the churches inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to start with verse 1 and 2. 1 Thessalonians verses 1 and 2. That's right after Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. So what we have here, if you notice, is it's church leaders writing to the church body. Did you catch that? That's Paul and Silas, one of his traveling companions, along with Luke, often traveled with him, who wrote the book of Luke, Dr. Luke. And this time, Timothy as well. And they're writing to the church. So we want to remind ourselves, who is it that God has appointed to oversee the churches? Who is it that God has appointed to equip us and encourage us and train us and build us up? Who is that? Okay, we're getting there. In Ephesians 4, we learn that Jesus gave us gifts. Ooh, I like gifts. Do you all like gifts? We just did gifts, didn't we? And about a week after Christmas, Ellie asked Dory, so are we going to do this again this week? Oh! You know how much preparation is involved for that one day? You know, or if in your family you spread it out over a few days, but yeah, I don't want to do it all over again the next week. But Jesus himself gave us gifts. Do you think Jesus gives good gifts? Yes, he does. So if Jesus gives good gifts, then boy, I want to receive those gifts. How about you? So Ephesians 4, it says, and Jesus gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Who's a saint? Wait, you guys are saints? Come on, are you serious? I'm glad to hear you realize that, because that's what the Bible says, that we are the saints, and Jesus gave us gifts. But did you notice that these gifts are people? He gave us people as gifts, offices as gifts. And those people that he gave to us are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he even says what their jobs are, what he gave those gifts to us for, so that they could equip. That means train, teach, and guide. Train, teach, and guide. So if we have someone who is given into our lives to train, teach, and guide us, we have a choice. We can allow ourselves to be taught, trained, and guided, or we can say, nope, I don't want to allow that to happen. So boy, when you do that, you're really rejecting the gifts that Jesus gave, aren't you? Ooh, I don't want to do that. As these men and women are recognized as the gifts they are and honored by you and I, then we position ourselves to receive from them. Then we can be equipped by them. If we don't recognize somebody as a pastor or a teacher, we're not going to allow ourselves to be pastored, shepherded, or taught. Right? So here we have these types of leaders. Okay? We have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers writing to the church because they're desiring to teach and equip the followers of Jesus living in Thessalonica. Boy, say that 10 times fast. Thessalonica. You know the interesting thing? A lot of the cities we read about in the Bible, they've changed names or they've closed down and there's new cities. But Thessalonica is actually still there. It's in northern Greece. And back then it was actually the capital of Macedonia. Remember Paul was over there in Galatians and Ephesians and he got a vision. And it was a man saying, come to Macedonia. This is that. When he went there. This was the capital of Macedonia. All right, so I have 3 points today. I have a good 3-point sermon. That's what we're taught in Bible school. People can remember 3 points. Sometimes I have 4 or 5, and I hope you remember 3 of those 4 or 5. But this morning I have 3. So point number one, recognizing and honoring our leaders will result in our personal spiritual growth. Come on, recognizing and honoring our leaders will result in your personal spiritual growth. I've had that happen a number of times in my life when I've recognized my leaders. Okay. Pastor Bob Muncy, Chris Ball, Joe Jansen, Jeff and Nancy Clark, and I've allowed them to equip and train me. And guess what? That's made me a better pastor so that I can better equip and train
all of you.
Okay, so that's number one. Recognizing and honoring our leaders will result in our personal spiritual growth. Yay, I want spiritual growth. Hopefully you guys do too. Number two, you and I are members of the church. Now, I know I taught you this before, but when God brings us back and has me reteach something, you know what that tells me? That tells me there's enough negative things coming against us all the time that we have to displace that negative with the truth. Because if I only once a year tell you you're the church, but all week long you hear something else from the devil, you're not this, you're not worthy, you screwed up, so now you're just apart, you sinned and now you're separated, and you think, oh goodness, and then I'm not going to tell you for another whole year that you're a member of the church. See, some of these things he needs to remind us over and over, doesn't he? So, by way of reminder, we are members of the church. It says here, to the church in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God loved us and sent Jesus to save us, reconcile us, and free us from the slavery to sin, the bondage of the law, and the deceitfulness of religion. Okay, let's work through that a little bit. Okay? We know that he came to save us. Most of us have heard that enough in our lives. Okay? Jesus came to save us. He came to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He came so that we could have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We got that. At least I hope we all got that. If you don't, talk to one of the pastors or leaders after the service. But sometimes we miss some of these other points. He came to free us from slavery to sin. Before we accepted Christ, we were slaves to sin. We obeyed sin. We had to work really, really hard not to sin. But once we accept Christ and have our sins forgiven, it says we have a new nature. It's no longer a sin nature. But because of habits, because of hurt, because of lies we're believing, we choose to go against that nature and sin. Do you see the difference? The one, what we, one, we have a sin nature and we can't help but sin. But now that we've been saved, that nature is dead. We have a new nature, but we can still decide to sin. So he came to free us from slavery to sin. We no longer have to obey sin. He came to release us from the bondages of the law. See, the law tells us that we can never be good enough, that we can never earn a place with God, but that we need to try. The new covenant says, not possible. Even if you obey the whole law, but sin one time, you've broken the law, and now you can't earn your way into heaven. I don't want to earn my way into heaven. I've already decided that's impossible. And so we are free from the law. We now have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, not through the law. It's not through the law. The other thing he freed us from is the deceitfulness of religion without relationship. Remember the Sadducees and the Pharisees? They had that religion thing down perfect. I mean, those guys just knew how to do the right thing at the right time. And the Son of God stood right in front of them. And they didn't even recognize him because they were so much deceived by religion. Okay, religion is all about doing things in a particular way, over and over, and hoping to earn your right to God's approval. That's not the new covenant. Jesus said that when we know the truth would set us free. So if we're not living in freedom, then we don't yet know Jesus as the truth in all the ways He wants us to know Him in the truth. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, Romans 7:6. Romans 7:6. Those of you that like to follow along. Listen at the tense, okay? The tense of the verb. But now we have been. Does have been mean present or future? It's past. We have been. Past tense. When we accepted Christ, when we believed in Him, when we became His follower, we have been released from the law. Yay. Yay! Having died to that by which we were bound. Were bound to the law. So that, oh I love these, so that we now serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. See, we can get in the trap of returning to the letter. Boy, I sinned. I really messed up. I hope I didn't lose my salvation. Well, wait a minute. You didn't earn your salvation. You're not going to lose your salvation by making a bad mistake. It says we've been freed from that by what we once were bound. And then the enemy loves to come in and say, see, you aren't really a Christian or you wouldn't have done that. I'm so glad for Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. No. No. How much clearer can the word no be? No condemnation. That word means being judged and deciding on a verdict. See, the enemy wants to yell, guilty, 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 condemned, condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Folks, we have been freed. Freed from the law, freed from religion, freed from the slavery to sin. We are no longer under the law and its curses and its condemnation. John 5:24, we are free and have already passed from death to life in Jesus. Already. It's already been decided. We've passed from death to life in Jesus. Are you excited about that today? So, number one, we recognize and honor our leaders, and that will result in our personal spiritual growth. Number two, we have been freed from the law and from judgment because we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are freed from the law and from judgment because we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. Okay, number three. Point number three. We are to bless one another. Bless one another. Let's talk a minute about grace. It says we are saved by grace through faith, and that is not even of yourself. It's the gift of God. So that means when we come to Jesus, we come by grace. We come by His willingness to forgive and cleanse. And so we come and we say, here we are. We believe in you, Jesus. We admit that we have done things that displeased you, but we now want to turn from those things and follow you. Come on. If you believe and confess Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. But see, we want to add stuff to that, don't we? That sounds too easy. You know, over and over when the good news was preached, it was believe in Jesus and you'll be saved in all your household. And we want to add, well, after you do this and if you do that and if you stop doing that, but it doesn't say that, does it? Do we have the right to add to that? It says believe and you will be saved. And that's through grace. Grace. And faith that we have that God is who He says He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who love Him. Alright. So the first thing we should speak to one another is blessing. Boy, it's so easy to be critical. Just ask this guy. So easy to be critical. But the first thing, okay, they do address things later, but they start with blessing. They say, hey, there's some issues you need to deal with, but we're going to start with blessing. We're going to recognize that you're a son and daughter of the King. We're going to recognize that you're part of the church. And so we're going to speak to you grace and peace. It says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. All right. So, we're going to get very practical. Not asking anybody to raise hands. And maybe the person that normally sits there isn't there today, but it still applies. This week, did you pray for the person that's sitting on your left and the person that's sitting on your right? How about the person in the row in front of you and the row behind you? Paul said that he and Silas and Timothy give thanks to God always for all of you. Have you thanked God for that person sitting beside you, in front of you, and behind you? God, I just thank you for that person and who they are. And the joy they bring when they come on Sunday mornings and the way that they ask me how I am. I thank you for them and I make mention of them in my prayers. Wouldn't that be exciting to know that the people sitting around you are doing that each week? Are you praying for your pastors, elders, and ministry leaders? Maybe you think they could do a better job at equipping, training, and guiding you. The thing to do is pray. My wife will tell you when she needed a better husband, she said, God, I can't change the boy, but you can. And when she told me that she did that, I wasn't real happy because I knew I was about to be changed. Yep. So are you praying blessing over your pastors, elders, and ministry leaders? Just asking God to encourage them and strengthen them. And let's be grateful for one another that God brought each of us into the other's lives. But what this is teaching us here is that then we can speak blessing over their lives and to them. It's just not the idea of being nice. Now, we're to be kind. It tells us to be kind. But our words have power. So we can speak blessing or cursing over each other. Come on. What we say to others and about others can greatly affect them and us. Maybe we're not saying anything negative to them. But boy, we have a lot to say negative about them. Ooh. Ooh. 1 Peter 3:8-9 says it this way, to summarize. So when you start a sentence with to summarize, you mean I've told you a whole lot of stuff, Now I'm going to condense it. Now I'm going to make it easier to understand. To summarize, Peter says, be agreeable with each other. Be sympathetic with each other. Be loving. Be compassionate. Be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions. This is the message. Come on. That goes for all of you, no exceptions. So that includes me. No retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless one another. That is your calling, to bless one another. You will be a blessing and also get a blessing. First Peter, you will be a blessing and you will get a blessing. So whenever I think about those kind of scriptures, I always get, I should put it this way, the Lord always gets very practical with me and doesn't leave me off the hook. You know, I tell you, I share this with you for 40 minutes on a Sunday, but it's been running through my crock pot all week. So he goes, okay, so you're on your way to Harrisburg and you look in your rearview mirror and there's this person coming up behind you, and he's in the left lane, and he's in the right lane, and he's in the left lane, and then he cuts you off, and you have to brake, and as you brake, you look in the mirror and hope the person behind you doesn't slam into you. Are you blessing or cursing? Oh, awesome. I'm so glad you asked me that question. I just smile and say, Lord, bless their day. Yeah, no, I don't. Usually what I say is, so just being transparent, I don't curse. I say, you idiot, why didn't you get out of bed 15 minutes earlier? That's what I say. Like, he can hear me because he's already 5 miles up the road ahead of me. But then the interesting thing is when you get off the exit, he's now only one car in front of you. And I'm thinking, you endangered my life. You endangered everybody else's life. You could have caused one of those 60-car pileups that we've been seeing. Because you overslept and couldn't get ready for work on time. Yeah, but we're learning grace and peace. So maybe, just maybe, now I haven't started to do it yet, but now that I've told you about it, I might have to, is if I prayed, Lord, that person is probably going through a lot. They have a lot on their minds. Maybe they couldn't sleep. You know, there's all kinds of reasons that they're in the situation they're in, so grace and peace to them. Huh? I don't know. I'll think about it, and I'm going to try. How about when somebody says something mean or condescending to you? Don't you just smile and say, bless your little heart and soul? No, we usually don't. You know, they walk away, and you go, mumble, grumble, right? Right? Isn't that what we do? But it says the first thing we're to do is speak a blessing. Ah! Listen to this. Like, I thought that was challenging enough. Jesus says, he goes so far as to say, he wants us to bless our enemies and to even speak blessing over those who speak a curse to us. Oh, come on, Jesus. Okay, remember I said we live the Christian life with help from the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not serving under the law. But boy, in some of those areas, I still need a lot of help. So Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to remind me that Jesus loves them and I'm to be loving them as Jesus loved them. And you're going to help me to speak blessing and not cursing. Ah, boy, that's a challenge. Is it? Okay, I was hoping it wasn't just me and all of you had this all down pat. Okay, I feel like I'm in the right group then. So we're speaking grace over people. Grace to you and peace. Grace is God's favor and empowering blessing. We're pretty good with the God's favor thing. I think we got that. And I have to remind myself that He always has sufficient grace. Sufficient grace. And to help me have sufficient grace. But His grace means He also empowers and enables us to do what He called us to do. That's the other part of grace. Boy, there's a lot of weeks I need that. To be all the things that we're called to be. Whether it's a father, a husband, a mother, a daughter, a grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister, co-worker. I think I hit something there. Co-worker. Do you want to speak grace to that person down the hall from you or in that cubicle with you or walking through the hall with you? Okay, we can work on that, right? Can't we work on that one? God's favor and empowering blessing be upon you. And then to speak peace. His peace comes to overwhelm us and release all fear and anxiety in our lives. Wow. Come on, anybody want that? His peace comes, and as it settles over us, it releases all fear and anxiety. Yeah? Don't you want some people to speak that over you? That sound pretty good? So let's practice that for a moment. So Father God, I just speak Your blessing of grace over each one here today that can hear my voice, that they would know that Your favor is with them, that You are for them and not against them, that You're applauding every step that they take toward going after You, and that Your grace would come and enable them to be all that You've called them to be, all that You've desired them to be, that destiny You've set for them, Your grace would allow them to just smoothly transition into that destiny. You would open doors that would have seemed impossible at first, but because of Your favor and grace on their lives, You will make a way where there seems to be no way. And then, Father, I just speak a blessing of peace over each of them today. Each one of you, each one of you, each one of you, His peace. That it would just settle down upon your head and upon your shoulders. And as His peace just rests on you today, the peace of Jesus, and as it settles down through your being, your mind, your will, your emotions, that it would just push out and overpower all fear and all anxiety. Just like You were being wrapped in a nice warm blanket today, and You're laying at Jesus' feet, all fear and all anxiety. And then stepping away from that fear and anxiety with the peace that He gave you today. Thank You, Father, that You call us to be a blessing and to speak a blessing. All right, so our 3 points today. Recognizing and honoring our leaders will result in what? Our spiritual growth. As members of the church, we have been freed from the law and from judgment. The law and from judgment. And number 3, we are to speak blessing and be a blessing. So I'm just going to encourage you today, and maybe throughout this week, that you practice speaking blessing to one another. Maybe even today that the Lord would prompt you to just go to someone and have you speak blessing over them today. You're supposed to start already, because by next week you might forget. So practice it today, or maybe this week you'll be praying. Remember, he said he prayed for them all week, all the time. So as you pray for people in this congregation, maybe this week you'll be praying and say, Lord, just bless Jack and Nancy who sit right there on that second row and minister to them. And as you pray that, the Lord says, just call them and tell them. Or just call them and let them know you prayed for them. Isn't that good? Wouldn't you be encouraged if someone called and said, I prayed for you this week? Awesome. So let's practice being a blessing to one another this morning and this week. Amen? Awesome. You guys are dismissed. Have a great rest of your day.